Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to We're Hit Radio. I'm your host, Mark Matheny. Today is February 14th, 2016. The question is, do you really understand what's going on in your world? Because there are elements, there are groups, there's elites who are hell-bent, yes, hell-bent on destroying your way of life. They're hell-bent on controlling every aspect of your life and the way you live. I've talked about this for years, and I've been doing a radio show, and I have the website, Sic Semper Tyrannis News, where you can go and you can see and read reports of exactly what these people are doing in order to push for global government. I've written several articles. They've been through the course of the years. But, you know, a lot of people don't understand that the economy, the wars, everything that's taking place right now are taking place because this agenda to push for a world war government, a one world government, is a part of this plan. In other words, the things that are taking place are taking place according to the agenda that these elites are pushing for, which is world government. Now, a lot of people might say, "Well, you know, I don't believe that, or I don't think that, you know, the government would do that, or a president would do that." But believe it or not, they are. Now, I wanted to talk about a couple of things tonight concerning that. One of the things is in Africa. Let's look at Africa. Let's look at the IMF, the International Mafia Federation, or the International Monetary Fund, as they call themselves, which is really the International Mafia Federation, who's been, supposedly trying to help Africa for 30 years or more, 40, 50 years. Since the inception of the United Nations, and has not helped them. We have tribal strife. We have third world genocide in that country with Rwanda and other things. We have United Nations corruption in that area, and so many other things. But there has not been progress made in Africa because it's not meant to. They're not meant to have progress in Africa. And the agenda is to depopulate, downsize, and keep Africa unindustrialized. And I want to play a clip that I think you'd find very interesting, which talks about this, if I can play it, where Obama is speaking to an African delegation, and I hope you can hear it. I'm going to play this right now, but listen closely to what he says to this African delegation concerning air conditioning, the use of cars, in other words, industrialization, in other words, progress for the African nation, black people. Listen to what he says to this delegation concerning their progress. I'm going to play it, and this is from the words of the lips of Barack Obama, and I want you to hear it. Here it goes.
If everybody's raising living standards to the point where everybody's got a car and everybody's got air conditioning and everybody's got a big house, well, the planet will boil over.
Okay. And you heard what he said. If everybody on the earth and he's talking to an African delegation, if everybody has these things, then the world will boil over. God forbid that the world should boil over, and that everybody should have equal standards of living. God forbid. Because the agenda of the United Nations is to push for climate change, which used to be called global warming. They do not want the third world countries progressing, but in fact, they want the industrialized nations to decrease, to be downsized. And that's why we see the unemployment rates going up, although they lie and say there's 5% unemployment or 8% unemployment. True unemployment rates are at 22-23%, because they no longer base the unemployment percentages based on pre-1994 percentages, I believe it is, when Ronald Reagan was in office and said he got it down to 8% unemployment or whatever. He got it down to that because they used to report it a little more honestly. Even back then, it probably wasn't as honest as it should have been, but it was more honest. Now, they're lying. There's about 94 million Americans out of work, out of the labor force right now. There's only 330 million Americans in the United States, period. So you only have, according to statistics, about 110 or 111 million Americans working. You got 330 million Americans in the United States. That's not to mention illegals and others that come in. Now, obviously, we have a lot of corruption going on, and we have a lot of illegal activity and work that may not be reported. But overall, people, we've got about 50% unemployment. But the records show at least 22-23% unemployment if we go by true statistics. And you can look at shadowgovernmentstatistics.com to see that. So what the agenda is that I've talked about before by the United Nations is to push for world government. The problem they have with that is governments have what they call boundaries, sovereignty, and contracts under what they call constitutions, which prohibit that. They prohibit basically a world government. So what these elites want to do is to destroy sovereign boundaries. And they've had a hard time doing that because countries aren't willing to turn over their sovereignty to a world government. You got to remember, after World War I, they tried the League of Nations. It didn't work out too well because, again, people were suspicious of world government. They were suspicious of giving up any type of sovereignty, and they refused it. So, the League of Nations didn't turn out so well. So we had World War II, and then we had the United Nations. Of course, under the United Nations, they gained some ground and some legitimacy. Even though the United Nations is not 100% legitimate yet, they are gaining power, they're gaining more and more power. And what is happening is they want to destroy sovereign boundaries. And we can see here in the United States, for example, and we're hearing about it a lot in the GOP and especially on the GOP side under Trump, the immigration issues of open borders and the destruction of our borders, just basically being flooded by it's primarily Mexicans coming through. But there is an agenda behind that. The agenda is to change the demographics of the voting people. The other thing they want to do is create what they call a North American Union. Now, here's one of the things I wanted to talk about I hadn't thought about until recently with Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz being born in Canada, father being a Canadian citizen, or a Cuban citizen under Canadian citizenship, I believe it was, and his mother being an American. Now, you think about the North American Union. If you've never heard of this idea of a North American Union, don't be alone in that thought, because there's a lot of people in the U.S. who are unaware of this whole concept. Whereas the United States government has been in cooperation with Mexico and Canada, and they've been formulating agreements basically secretly and openly, although even the open agreements are clandestine in a way, in the way they represent them, which are ultimately going to push for a United States changing from the way we know it today, with sovereign boundaries. And in Wikipedia, for example, this explanation of the North American Union is this: it's a theoretical economic and political union of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, it says. The concept is loosely based on the European Union, occasionally including a common currency called the Amero, or the North American dollar. Some form of union has been discussed and proposed in academic, business, and political circles for decades. However, government officials from all three nations say there are no plans to create a North American Union, no agreement has been done, and so on. The formation of a North American Union has been the subject of various conspiracy theories. But listen, we can show several speeches and several articles and lots of proof that this is not a theory. They are pushing to destroy national boundaries in order to create a one-world government. Now, according to the definition in Wikipedia, it says it's a theoretical economic and political union of the United States, Mexico, and Canada. So this would have you believe, in other words, that there's no current plans for this so-called theoretical union. But let me tell you, make no mistake, because this idea has been a long time in the making. Several steps have been completed and are being completed at this time with the destruction of our borders, especially in Mexico, for the fulfillment of this union, because then they will have an American Union, an African Union, the European Union, and what is it, the Pacific Union? In other words, they want to slowly erode the nation's boundaries in order to create a one-world government under the United Nations, with a United Nations peacekeeping force, a one-world currency, and a cashless society. All of these things are taking place. Now, here's a brief timeline. I'm going to show you some things basically concerning this North American Union, but I'll talk about some other stuff too, because right now, like I said, with Obama, you heard in the beginning of the show where he's telling these Africans, this African delegation, basically, if we give you air conditioning and cars, the whole world is going to blow up, basically. It's going to just have a complete meltdown. Well, this isn't true. It's a part of Agenda 21, which has now become a part of Agenda 2030, which is a program for what they call sustainable development and carbon taxing, and basically pushing Americans onto 25% of the total landmass of the United States and control city grids. So let me go back, though, as early as the mid-19th century. Let's go there. The 19th century, it began with ideas for a North American Union. And one concept was a North American technate, they called it. And it followed after the North American Free Trade Agreement, known as NAFTA. And basically, they set this up similar to the European Union's setup. And so while serving as policy advisors to the presidential campaign of Vincent Fox during 2000, general election in Mexico, Jorge Castaneda, influenced by academic Robert Pastor's ideas on deepening integration of NAFTA, he encouraged Fox to include policies on integration as part of his campaign, and then Fox appeared on several news programs in the U.S. advocating greater integration between the U.S. and Mexico and between ideas, including ideas of opening up the U.S.-Mexican border within the next 10 years, and this was in 2000. And then again in 2001, during an interview, the elected President Fox then stated that he desired to see between Mexico and the United States a convergence of the two economies, a convergence on the basic fundamental variables of that economy, convergences on rates of interest, convergences on the income of people, and the convergences on salaries. And what it would do is erase the border and open up that border for the free flow of products and capital, as well as people. This is happening. They said this almost 15 years ago. And I wrote an article talking about the other impact of this, which was the fact that down in South America, we have predominantly, you can look it up, 70 to 90% Catholic voters who are democratic socialist voters. So it would push to change the demographics in the United States to a democratic socialist atmosphere politically. And this is what they're trying to do. Now, in 2003, another effort was brought forth by Canadian Council of Chief Executives, U.S. Council on Foreign Relations, and Mexican Council on Foreign Relations called the Independent Task Force on North America. And shortly after there were calls by this task force to make a deeper integration of NAFTA in order to form a North American economic security community, they pushed this to happen by around 2010. Now, if you go back and you look, and I looked at in an article by WikiLeaks, which was published in 2011, it released a diplomatic cable that came from 2005, which included these discussions. And this is what it said. It said, by U.S. government officials about the best approach to North American integration based on an assessment of Canadian views. The cable suggested a North American initiative, quote unquote, that would address goals in the area of security and prosperity through incremental measures, saying such a proposal would get the most support from Canadian policymakers. It notes many Canadian economists supported ambitious goals like a single market, with some supporting a monetary union, but they believed the incremental approach was more appropriate at that time. It says Canadian central banker governor is quoted in the cable as having said that a monetary union is an issue that should be considered towards progress, towards establishing a single market. And the National Post, Robert Hiltz, described the cable in 2011 as describing the obstacles surrounding the merger of economies of Canada, the United States, and Mexico in a fashion similar to the European Union. Now, these are facts. This is not a theory. These are documented, well-noted facts that they're pushing for this North American Union. But like I say, folks, they push the African Union, the Asian Union, the European Union, and then the North American Union, so that then at the end of that, all they have to push for is four borders essentially into one unit called the New World Order, basically, and a one world government system. So this is what I'm talking about. Now we have in the political atmosphere, we have a change in the politics, because normally you have Republican and Democrat running, but within the Democratic Party and the GOP, you have, you know, Donald Trump. And for what it's worth, there are many people who have doubts about Donald Trump, about what he's doing, whether he is genuine or not. Now listen, I'm not a prophet. I can't tell the future. Nobody can, except the Holy One. But if you go back and look at the policies, the whole attitude of Donald Trump, pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, against the bankers, against these people. You know, a lot of people will say, well, he's not. Well, how do you know? Proof and what he has said, he said some very dangerous things. He has attacked Bush. He's attacked Hillary Clinton. The Bilderberg group and the members of Davos have all condemned him, saying he's a dangerous person, not to be put into the presidency. And a lot of people could say, well, you know, he is an establishment president or candidate, let's say. But is he an establishment candidate, really, if Bilderberg and the Davos Committee are condemning him? These elites who are at the top, the cream of the crop, if they are condemning Trump, then is he really an establishment candidate? Whereas you have Ted Cruz, who, you know, supported TPP, who is supporting some of the agendas that I feel are pro New World Order agendas, basically. You know, it's hard to say. I'm not trying to attack Cruz, but I'm simply saying you can't support Cruz and then totally attack Trump, because Trump is not in the cookie cutter program that these elites want. So I do feel that Trump is genuine. I do feel when you go back and look, when Trump was attacking the birth certificate issue with Obama and asking for a long-form birth certificate, at first I thought it maybe was a propaganda stunt. But now I kind of think that Donald Trump was being genuine and wanting to understand whether the president was really legally allowed to become the president. Now, here's the other thing. They've had some committees that said that Ted Cruz is now legal to be the president as well. But in the studies that I've understood under the Founding Fathers, and the whole intention of the Founding Fathers was to say, look, you need to have loyalty. So the person who is born in the United States or even outside of the United States, who later we feel is a natural born citizen, has to have a mother and a father who are both citizens of the U.S. Now they're saying, oh, you only have to have one. Well, that kind of defeats the whole, in my opinion, the whole reason the Founding Fathers set up the natural born citizen status for presidency. If your father is not a natural born citizen, or he is not under the jurisdiction of the United States when that son is born or daughter is born, then how can they be loyal to the United States if their father is a citizen of another country? In my opinion, this invalidates the Constitution. But you got Mark Levin, you've got constitutional lawyers, all of them saying all you have to have is a mother or a father who is an American-born citizen. I believe that is contrary to what the intention of the Founding Fathers founded. I'll go over that in a program in the future. But here's what it is, people. It's the meltdown of the U.S. because, and I want to play again what Obama said, and I want you to listen to it.
They openly admit that, yes, we're bringing in a planetary government, and you will either join the New World Order or die. But then they have pop culture for decades demonizing everyone. Just take over and have you.
Now listen, here is again with Obama talking to an African delegation. Now listen.
You can't have a car.
If everybody's raising living standards to the point where everybody's got a car, and everybody's got air conditioning, and everybody's got a big house, well, the planet will boil over.
Now, how is the planet going to boil over, first of all? Well, this is what Maurice Strong said, who was the Secretary General of the United Nations, way back when they first started pushing this sustainable development program. Let me tell you two things that they did in order to destroy national sovereignty. One was they came up with an idea. They said we have to defeat national boundaries. One way was through environmental catastrophes. And they came up with this carbon dioxide, pollution. And the second thing what they came up with was terrorism. Now, we know that the U.S. government is funding these terrorist organizations. They're funding al-Qaeda. They created the Mujahideen, and Hillary Clinton admitted to creating the Mujahideen in a congressional hearing and in several hearings. And people don't understand that, that they created these people. And I'm going to play one of the sound bites from Hillary Clinton stating this. Now listen. Listen closely to what she says.
To be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting. How? Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else, to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well-armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
So the United States, as far back as the 80s, created the Mujahideen, from which came al-Qaeda, al-Nusra, and ISIS. Now, people, listen. I've written several articles on Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard and Between the Ages, how he talks about the domination of Eurasia, the overrun of the natural resources in those area, and this is why we have this fight between the East and the West. We have a fight for a new world order. On one side, we have Europe and the United States. On the other side, we have Russia and China. This is why the President Obama and them, as soon as he came into office, later using these proxy armies overthrew Egypt, overthrew Libya, and now are attempting to overthrow Syria because they want to destabilize the Middle East. They want to, and then he created a vacuum in Iraq to create ISIS, the group ISIS, and they want to formulate these groups to destroy Israel. He's very anti-Israel. But this is a part of the global agenda. You have to destroy Israel. I've talked about the destruction of the middle class. I've talked about the destruction of religion. Because these globalists, they have said, we are gods. They have become like the gods in that they think they have the power of life and death, the power of controlling, you know, the world. And they want to create this. So now you've got about 3 or 4% all currency in the world. Only about 3 or 4% is cash currency now. 97%, 95 to 97% is now all electronic transfer, because then it can be monitored, it can be controlled, and it can be cut off. Now remember in the Bible, when it talks about that beast system rising up and commanding all, great and small, poor and free, bond and slave, and to worship this beast, I'm going to go into overdrive another 15 minutes because I want to talk about this. But they're pushing for a one world currency and a cashless currency in order to control. And then here in the United States, they're pushing for this North American Union. They're pushing for sustainable development. They're pushing a police state, so this is why they're creating friction and the creation of hatred toward the police, the division between blacks and whites. All of this is to destroy our country and fundamentally transform it, as Obama said. Change, hope and change. Change you can believe in, or whatever he said. Freaking bastard. Lying bastard. The lawless one, who's pushing executive orders to change laws, who thinks to change the times and the laws. It's because they want to destroy the Constitution. They want to destroy religion. Now they have these Islamic groups. You read Psalm 83, the 10 nations that come against, they give their power to the beast for war. For 10 nations, they are Arab nations, and they come forth to do the will of this beast system. Who's the head of this beast system? It's the Vatican. It's the mother of harlots. It's that woman, that institution, that fake bride of Christ, which is a fake, a counterfeit, who rides upon the beast system, the revived Roman Empire, who has a cup in her hand full of all the abominations. And all the kings of the earth drink of her fornication, it says. There are a lot of people who say the Rothschilds are, you know, the head of this global cabal, but the Rothschild family are the treasurers for the Vatican. This is documented. So yes, they're rich and they're powerful. The last time I did research on the Rothschild family, they were worth about $700 trillion. It's speculated. The United States, currently, according to Lawrence Kalikoff, is approximately $211 trillion in debt. Not $19 trillion. I wish we were $19 trillion in debt at this point. We would be better off. But we're about $211 trillion, and that was back in 2011. This is now 2016. So we're probably $300 trillion in debt, people. We have a derivatives bubble accumulating. We have growing animosity against Israel and Christianity. We have ISIS groups cutting people's heads off and a Muslim president who doesn't give a damn, who is pushing these groups. They're financing these groups. They're airdropping weapons into ISIS. They're getting new Toyota trucks, according to news agencies. And yet, people are condemning Trump because he curses and because he wants to build a wall to stop the North American Union, to stop the illegal immigration. When are you going to wake up, people? It's time to stop being a Democrat or a Republican, start being an American. It's time to understand that the only thing protecting you are your weapons, your guns. In the United States, the Japanese general in World War II, after they surrendered, did an interview and said the only reason they didn't invade the U.S. land was because there would be an American behind every blade of grass with a gun. So when Trump says he's going to get rid of gun-free zones and military installations and schools, you should applaud him, not condemn him. When he says he wants to bring back jobs to the United States, and he's a businessman who's dealt with China, who's dealt with these other countries, I tend to believe him more than I believe some of these other career politicians. I'm not saying I totally worship Trump or just believe everything he says, but I'm just telling you people, you know, we've got to have someone in office. I think a good combination would be Donald Trump and Ben Carson. I think the United States needs to heal of this racial tension, which is fabricated by the current administration, that people need to wake up to this and understand that a country that is divided against itself cannot stand. Just like Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so that's what they want to do, is destroy the only beacon of hope, the only beacon of light left in the world, that would prevent a new world order, which is the U.S. the United States. They want to destroy that. Maurice Strong said, the only way that we can push these global agenda, this New World Order basically, is to cause the industrialized nations of the world to collapse economically. He says, isn't this our job to make this happen? This is what he said. You can research it. Maurice Strong, Secretary General of the UN. I'm going to do more radio shows, Hashem willing. And I'm going to sign off now. I just hope that you listen to what I have to say tonight. I pray that it sinks in. For Six Emperor Tyrannus News, I'm Mark Matheny saying, if you don't protect your own rights, people, and if you don't wake up to the agenda and learn, no one else is going to do it. You take care of yourselves.